Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. Yeah. I'm Pastor Dave. That's Pastor Jeff.
What's up?
And we are from Revolution Church in Salina, Kansas.
We're glad to be here today. Hey, I read someone posted on one of our videos, that rock music's from the devil.
Is it now?
Yeah, but, you know, not everybody views it the same, I guess. But we just kind of liked it. I don't know. We want to be intense about Jesus Christ because we believe in Jesus Christ, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Music felt intense.
Right.
It's kind of funny to read trolls stuff.
Yeah, you know, like you said in a sermon a couple weeks ago, it's like we don't want to be different.
Yeah.
Sunday than we are the rest of the week.
Exactly.
I know that sounds kind of sacrilegious to a lot of people, but if that does sound sacrilegious to you, you really maybe ought to take a look at how you're living. But
yeah, that's called being a hypocrite.
Right.
Right. You don't want to be one way at church and a different way somewhere else. Like, oh, we're doing a Christian radio show now. We better play little baby music.
Talk really airy and stuff.
Anyway,
I don't want to do that, Jeff.
We're trolling the trolls right now. So anyway, we're going to get back on track. Today, we're doing a great show. We do these periodically where we answer questions that are impossible to answer.
Right.
The article is 10 questions biblical literalists cannot honestly answer.
Right. So we're going to do our best to honestly answer them. But if we can't,
we'll lie about it.
We'll lie about it.
No, we're not going to lie. We're going to answer these honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And it says we can't, but we're going to.
Right.
So we're going to jump in there. We would consider ourselves biblical literalists. Now, I don't know if that means what the writer of the article thinks
right.
it means.
Yeah.
He probably thinks it means wooden, literal. You can't have.
Right.
You can't have verbal.
There's no such thing as literary devices.
Dude. That's what
You're
I was
welcome.
Trying to say, and my brain stopped working.
You're welcome.
There's you can't have literary devices. You can't have poetic language or expression.
Right.
If you're literal, that's not the case. You can take the Bible literally if all you mean by literally is, I'm taking exactly what it's trying to communicate to me.
Right.
I think exactly what it's trying to communicate is literally true.
Right. It's not being secret about anything.
Right. Right.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and jump into this. The 10 questions, biblical literalists. Oh, by the way, hey.
What?
This is the week after Easter.
Right. Bounce houses.
Yes.
Hot dogs.
Yes.
And the welcome class.
And the welcome class. Mm-hmm. The only reasons you should come to church.
Right.
I mean, we come to church to know God better, to love Jesus, to learn to become part of a community that holds each other accountable.
Mm-hmm.
These are important things. But dude, you got to know we're going to have bounce houses today for the kids. So that's
right.
cool.
Yeah. Come on out.
Let them come. It's going to be great. Well, I say the kids, but I'm totally getting in one.
I've seen them do it.
So, all right. 10 questions biblical literalists can't answer.
Okay. The first one, he says, can you make a moral judgment against rape or slavery using only scripture? Go, Jeff.
No. Using only scripture.
Right.
I mean, if he means he's looking for a section of scripture that says, okay, point number one, don't rape, period.
Right.
Point number two, don't have slaves, period.
Right.
If he's looking for a list of the 10 commandments or a trillion commandments,
right.
The answer is no. Now, if he's looking for a list of principles that we live by as followers of Jesus Christ, you're absolutely going to find these sorts of principles, and you're absolutely going to come to the conclusion that rape and slavery are not okay.
Amen.
It's a funny argument to make to say that the Bible doesn't talk against rape or slavery because if you are going to require scripture to list everything that is evil,
right.
You would have to have a scripture that was not timeless, but a scripture that was bound to time and have to change throughout time.
Right.
Instead of giving us a scripture that was bound to time that we have to update whenever there's a new technology, God gave us his word in timeless form. Where we can look to the principles, we can understand the methods and the fruit of the Holy Spirit
right.
and know these things are appropriate, these things are not appropriate. And of course, there's going to be people who will take it, who will misinterpret it, which this is why we do Bible contradiction every week. There's going to be people who misinterpret it, who use it for their own purposes to say, oh, we can have slaves because of that, and they're going to twist the scriptures.
So basically, you know, with the advent of technology and stuff like that, according to the Bible, according to what he's saying, we should be able to cyber bully.
Yeah, right.
Because there's nothing in the Bible against it.
Exactly. That's what he would,
right.
essentially, the logical thing you'd run into. He says, the problem they run into is that there's absolutely zero scripture that says these acts are acts of moral turpitude. They can search the Bible till their fingers fly off, and not once will they find a single scripture that says rape and slavery are morally wrong. Okay, how about this one? Jesus says, He says, by the way, this is the second greatest command, right? First one is love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And he says, and the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
That is the second greatest command according to Jesus. Well, do you want to become a slave? Do you want to be raped?
Right.
No,
right.
You don't.
Exactly.
So there is a scripture in the Bible. Jesus made it very clear. These aren't the sorts of things that we do.
Right. It's the golden rule thing. You know, when they were talking about, we were talking several weeks ago about the silver rule that some of these other religions have, mm-hmm. where Jesus kind of upped the ante and said, you have to be intentional about the way you treat others.
Right.
As you would have them treat
yes.
you.
Yes. You're talking about the golden rule,
yes.
where some of the other religions will have things that say, don't do to someone you wouldn't have them do to
right.
you. Jesus actually says, do, not don't do what you don't want someone to do. He says, mm-hmm. do to people what you want them to do to you. So
right.
if I want you to treat me with kindness, I need to treat you with kindness. If I want you to visit me and show me compassion, I have to visit you and show you compassion.
Right. And that's all based on love it's what we're talking about, because the silver rule basically says, don't do. That means I don't have to interact with anybody.
That's right.
But Jesus wants us to interact with each other because that's the only way we can show love.
He gets it, and he does say, you know, the Bible does address these issues. However, they address as property issues. He's going to talk about rape. He says, mm-hmm. for the part of rape, there's a guideline for what to do if someone rapes your virgin daughter. Now this is correct. The Bible does address
right.
this. He says, this issue is addressed from a perspective that one's daughter is one's property. Okay, this is not true, but this is what he thinks.
Right.
Now, the act of rape diminishes the value of that property. Apparently, to make amends for the damage of that man's property, the rapist is to marry the girl whom he attacked and violated and give her dad some money. Okay, from a very technical perspective, if you're going to read the scripture incorrectly, that's what it would look like. Mm-hmm. If you were to look at what happened with some famous people like Michael Jackson, you would be able to see that he did some reprehensible things to children.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you would see that those people sued him. And that the court awarded them lots of money, or that he settled out of court.
Oh.
And so, you know, years from now, someone who doesn't understand our culture might go, so basically he paid them a lot of money and it's legal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They would see it maybe as a legal transaction
right.
when that's not what it is at all. Right? He did something reprehensible, illegal. He should have gone to prison, but they didn't have enough proof. And so he was punished in the only way possible. That's a similar situation here. So if a guy rapes a girl, scripturally, the guy could actually die.
Right.
But you could actually, right here, what it says is the man has to marry the woman. Now, what happened in that culture is if a woman was raped, a lot of people wouldn't touch her. The people wouldn't like her. And so it says, instead of she has to go now and no one's going to want her, no one's going to care for her, this man has to marry her. It doesn't say she has to live with him. He has to marry her, and he is now fine. And by the way, it says he is not allowed to divorce her. Okay, their
right.
national law uh-huh. says he's not allowed to divorce her. So in other words, this is basically how we would consider child support or spousal support. Mm-hmm. He has to marry her. He has to provide for her. He has to give her money every week, every month. He has to take care of her every single need. He even has to pay tribute to the family of her, her family
right.
for the rest of her life. And she's not obligated necessarily to live with him either. And so she can actually stay with her father. So this is not like the victim is being forced to be with a rapist. This is the rapist is now punished every week, not just put in prison, but he's forced to provide for her for the rest of his life.
Yeah, forced to be responsible for that situation.
Yes, exactly. Which is actually a much better law than what we have in the United mm-hmm. States.
Right.
I mean, could you imagine in the United States if when someone was raped, we didn't just say, okay, well, he needs to go to prison for like what that one was a while ago, like 6 months or something,
right.
which was dumb. What if instead of saying they have to go to prison for 6 months, we said, now you have to take half your salary for the rest of your life and give it to her because
right.
you have to act like she's your spouse because you did what married people do.
Yes.
And I mean, that'd probably be a better punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go to number two.
All right. Would you sacrifice your child if God asked you to? Now, Jeff, you have children.
I have six children.
I have none.
You have none. So that's right. My answer to the question is yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, if the atheists were honest with themselves, their answer would be yes too.
Okay.
They say they don't believe in God,
mm-hmm.
but if God was real and he really was the God that we purport him to be,
right.
all good, all-knowing. Everything he does is right. And he looked at you and he said, you must kill your child. You would know this is an all-good God. He's got a perfect plan. Everything he says is right and true. It's always going to end up good. You would, and whatever he commands me to is morally right.
Mm-hmm.
You have no moral objection. You have no practical objection. You have no theological objection. You have no rational objection. There is no possible objection.
Right.
If this good, loving, well-planned out God tells you to do this.
Amen. What is the scripture? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it.
Right, right.
You know, and this question does not, it goes kind of against his own agenda here,
okay,
because it doesn't refute the fact that there is a God. It just asks, would you sacrifice your child if God asked you to?
Right. And what now what he says, he tries to show us that, he says, the most common answer given by an atheist is, or by a theist, is that their God wouldn't ever ask them to do that. They will tell you that their God is kind and loving, mm-hmm, and wouldn't ask someone to murder their own child. And to that, I must say, then you don't believe in the God of the Bible. And of course, he's going to talk about Abraham.
Right.
But you have to be sure to point out that God didn't have Abraham follow through with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll say God wouldn't ask us to kill my child. I mean, this is a theoretical question, right?
Mm-hmm.
God's not going to do this. God has never had someone kill their child. He's actually forbidden it.
Right.
So this is super hypothetical. If it were real, of course we would do it. And you would too if you really understood who God was and his plans.
Great answer.
He comes to the next paragraph. The reason that this was he talks about Ray Comfort, mm-hmm, this evangelist, how Ray says the same answer I did. He says, the only honest answer that Comfort could give is because anything else would negate his claim to biblical literalism and inerrancy. You see, despite what many Christians want to believe, the Bible makes it very clear that God has, and therefore could again, ask for someone to murder their own child. He asked Abraham to do it, but why did he ask Abraham to do it?
Because he wanted to know his loyalty.
No.
It was I'm going to shoot off several.
Yeah, I mean, he did want to know that.
Yeah,
but
it was also a shadow and type.
There we go. That's right, okay? He was giving us a shadow, mm-hmm, foretelling us what God was going to do with his own son,
right,
Jesus. So you have Abraham, who has his only son, whom he loves, who he had to sacrifice. And we're supposed to look at that and go, oh, that's terrible.
Right.
And then we look forward to God.
We should say, that's terrible.
Right. And then we look forward to God, who sent his son, Jesus, his only son, whom he loves, as a sacrifice. And we're supposed to go, oh, that's terrible. And then we realize that sacrifice was done for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we go, whoa. Okay, that is a big deal. The fact that Jesus Christ was punished for my sin and your sin is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
We can't treat this willy-nilly. We can't treat this like, oh, you know what? I don't need to go to a church. I find God in nature when I sit by a tree. Okay, well,
which you would talk like that more often. That's awesome.
Right? Like we can't treat this so flippantly. Jesus
right.
Christ gave his life for us. And he said, you are supposed to be my church. You're supposed to gather together. I want you to study my words. I want you to be my disciples. I want you to be baptized. Follow me. And so we have to do these things, mm-hmm, because we realize how big it was that he died for our sins.
Right. And the plan that God had is just so merciful and wonderful. But the price that Jesus paid was just awful.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So, let's go to the next one.
All right. Is it acceptable to cherry pick the Bible and only follow parts that you agree with?
What the? Of course not.
This is indeed a disturbing universe.
He admits this is actually a trick question. The reality is that nearly everyone from every denomination of Christianity cherry picks the Bible.
Well, that's true. He goes on, he says, literalists like Comfort and Ham, that's Ken Ham,
right,
Answers in Genesis, will tell you that homosexuality is a morally reprehensible act and an abomination of the Lord, and they will point to the Bible. Of course, when you point out that it also says to stone your unruly child to death and not to eat bacon, suddenly those parts don't apply. Okay, well, when we talk about homosexuality, we're not getting that rule from the Old Testament in the same places that it talks about bacon and whatnot.
Right.
Right. There's a reason those laws in the Old Testament existed. There's a different reason those laws exist in the New Testament. And there's a different reason why some laws apply now and why they don't back then. Unfortunately, the author of this article doesn't know the distinction
right.
between Old Covenant law and New Covenant obedience. It's different. We'll try to explain it when we come back. Dave, where should they go today?
TruthRevolution.tv and Revo.church.
Yeah, Revolution Church, come on out. Services at 9, or 10, 11:30, and 5.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
One skeptic gave reasons to reject Jesus' divinity. A major point was Jesus' failure to recruit anyone from his own family.
Well, it's true that at one point Jesus' family thought he was crazy.
Mark 3:21 tells us when his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind.
But it didn't stay that way.
The book of James was written by someone pretty important.
I'll say it was written by Jesus' brother. One whole book in the Bible was written by a family member of his.
James says he is, quote, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. James 1:1.
Think about what it would take to convince you that your brother or sister was God.
It would take a lot.
No kidding. And it took a lot for James. He initially didn't believe, but after Jesus' death and resurrection, he appeared to James, 1 Corinthians 15:7. And that made all the difference for James.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Hey, Pastor Jeff.
What's up, Pastor Dave?
I saw a guy come into Revolution Church the other day wearing an old ripped up Nirvana t-shirt.
Like the band?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I gave him a fist bump and some coffee.
Yeah, all right. At Revolution Church, we aren't worried what you look like, but we do want you and your family to learn about Jesus along with us.
Check us out online at revo.church.
That's revo.church. 10 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 5 p.m., revo.church.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
Or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, this show changed my life, I love Jesus.
Then consider a donation.
You can visit TruthRevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give... Give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going. You know, Revolution isn't the only good church in town. We also love Emmanuel Foursquare.
No, Revolution is a good church, and you're a good pastor, Jeff.
Thanks.
I'm Lauren Holtberg, and I'm pastor of Emmanuel Foursquare Church here in Salina.
And where are you located at?
Next to the New Dillons on Cloud Street. And you know, the mission statement from our church is pretty simple. It's to live for Jesus and serve our community through love. So if that's what you'd like to do, we'd like to invite you to join us some weekend, Saturday night, free meal at 6, service at 7, and then Sunday morning, 9 or 11. God bless you.
Some Christians treat the love of God like something to be reflected, like a mirror. It hits them and immediately goes out, but the problem is they don't feel it. Some treat God's love like a coat. They feel the warmth, but it never goes anywhere else. I like to think of it like a battery. We soak up the love of Jesus, but that energy and love is meant to be used for something else. We receive the love from God, and it translates into taking care of orphans and widows and foster kids. Be a battery for Jesus.
Truth Revolution.
And here we go again, answering questions that nobody can answer.
All right, so we're answering the question, is it okay to cherry pick parts of the Bible? And we're talking about how this guy says that Christians will say homosexuality is wrong, but then they ignore the part that says don't stone your child or stone your child and don't eat bacon. And here's the difference. The laws in the Old Testament, a lot of them, were laws to show us that we are completely incapable of following all of God's laws.
Absolutely.
That we are supposed to turn to God and go, I am utterly defenseless. I need your forgiveness. I can't follow these laws. It was to show us that we were unrighteous.
Right.
And some of those laws were to show, remind the Israelites, like the bacon one. Okay, like the bacon law. It was to show them you are supposed to be super clean. Anything that I call unclean, it was like practice. It was like practicing a mindset. Anything God calls unclean, you can't touch. And it was supposed to remind them they are children of God. Mm-hmm. There's many things we can't do, and there's many things we can do, and we have to remain clean. We can only do the things God allows us to do. And that translates today to not just not eating bacon, because we can eat bacon today.
Right.
It translates to we don't do sin, not just no bacon or certain cloths.
Right.
It real sin, we don't do that. And so what is real sin? Well, the New Testament defines a lot of it. The Old Testament did too. The New Testament defines things like homosexual actions as sin. And so we do too. And so that's why when you find things like homosexuality in close proximity to things like don't eat bacon in the Old Testament, you don't just throw it away. You look to the New Testament and say, well, what's the principle that God has for us now? There are certain sexual acts that are not okay, But there are certain things like eating bacon now that are okay. You just have to turn to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians and find that out.
Right.
So, all right, we're going to go to number four.
Number four, how did animal X get from point Y, point Z to point Z?
Dave, where'd you get this accent from?
From the great flesh. Sorry. How did animal X get from point Y to point Z after the great flood? Basically, the kangaroo story.
The kangaroo story. He actually says, how did kangaroos get from ancient Mesopotamia to Australia? Mm-hmm. What's he trying to say?
Basically, he's saying there was a worldwide flood. And when Noah took all the animals on the ark, he took all the animals from all the world. So when they actually got stranded on the top of the mountain, well, he had to send all the animals their separate ways because they had to go back home.
Right.
Right. So evidently kangaroos can swim.
Kangaroos got off the ark. Right, yeah. And well, how did they, after getting off the ark, get to Australia?
They took a taxi or a ferry, actually.
Ferry. So. They took a ferry. Mm-hmm. That's a good answer.
Well,
now, what do we really say about this?
We say that it was not a worldwide flood. It was a worldwide flood in the context of that was their world at that time.
Yes.
It was an area flood, and it covered the entire known world at that time.
The entire known world, all of humanity mm-hmm. died in that flood. So all of the world that mattered died.
Yeah.
But Noah saved the animals from that area, that local geographic area, and all the rest of the humans died. So kangaroos in Australia were not affected by this quote, global flood.
Yes, not one kangaroo has ever seen a flood that big. So,
and he goes on, he says, science tells us that it's nearly a physical impossibility for one male, one female to preserve a species. Mm-hmm. We got to check with Fuzz Ron, our molecular mm-hmm. biologist, on that. Especially, there were some things that Noah brought in the ark that there were seven of each pair.
Right.
And it's not just one male, one female. It's there was a lot of genetic diversity coming into these creatures that got on the ark. Anyway, he says, let's assume that they live, mate, and repopulate. They certainly can't do this in a state of persistent migration. And of course, all our answers about this not being totally all the way around the entire globe answers this. So let's go ahead and do our Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Dave, hit me.
All right. This one's from the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Okay. Says, how old was Ahaziah?
Okay, look.
Sorry.
Dave, let's just wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I'm sick of doing Bible contradictions.
Are you?
I am. I'm tired
just
of doing...
Stop.
I'm tired of them. Actually, I was getting ready for the radio show, and I was like, these annoy me because they're so easy to solve.
Right.
Every week... I'm like annoyed. I was talking to Sam, our tech guy, and he's like, just don't do them anymore. I was like, yeah, I don't know. So here's what we're going to do. Instead of doing one, answering it deep, I'm just going to do three. We're just going to go bam, bam, bam. How easy they are to get done. Because these things annoy me. The fact that people just aren't honest. They purposely, a lot of times, looks like purposely don't read the Bible the way it's supposed to be read. And they act like they're completely ignorant to how to understand ancient documents, which maybe they are. And so then they think there's all these contradictions when there's none. We've been doing this for 5 years. Every week we've answered a contradiction or multiple. We've never found one that we couldn't answer.
Right. And I think the problem actually stems from the fact that a lot of people parrot a lot of other people.
Right. You know, they don't look at it into themselves. Right. They copy a list and they post it themselves.
All right. So what is it? How old was Ahaziah? Okay. 2 Kings 8:26 says 2 and 20 years old was Ahaziah when he began his reign. Versus 2 Chronicles 22:2, 40 and 2 years old was Ahaziah when he began his reign.
Okay, so was he 22 or 42? Right. Easy. Our E in the cracked acronym mm-hmm. for early meaning of the manuscripts, it was a copyist error. The Bible's copied down. Some of these copyists made an error. That's it. He was at, it's clear. Okay, no problem. Okay. Next one.
Are we all sinners? Romans 3:23 says, so for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Job 1:1 said, there was a man whose name was Job. and that man was perfect and upright.
Okay, D for dialect in our cracked acronym. Perfect is just a descriptive word.
Uh-huh.
Very easy. Some people would even say D for dialect because this is just a story, not a real person.
Right.
I lean towards Job being a real person, mm-hmm. but well, whatever. I mean, it's either way, it's a descriptive word. It's not saying he never did anything ever wrong. Is right. That's not what it's saying.
Okay.
Next.
Shall we obey the law? 1 Peter 2:13 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man.
Oh, gosh.
Acts 5:29 says, we ought to obey God rather than man.
I know. I get annoyed by obeying the laws, but mm-hmm. here we go. You have to obey them. God wants us to obey them. Okay. Right. So we obey both God and man. Unless there's a contradiction, then we obey God. Duh. Right. Any second grader who reads this could understand that this is not a contradiction. Why do people post stuff like this acting like it's a contradiction? They're completely disingenuous. They don't even try to figure out what the truth is. They're just like angry.
Okay, Jeff.
It just annoys me.
Take a deep breath.
Well, here's what we got to do. When we read atheists, uh-huh. as Christians, when we read stuff by atheists, we can't just write them off as dummies because they're not.
Right.
We can't just go take their quotes and just twist them and try to make them look dumb. Mm-hmm. That's wrong.
Right.
And it just annoys me because like for 5 years we've been doing Bible contradictions and right. very rarely have I found one that went, you know, that actually looks, that's kind of hard to understand.
Right.
That's very rare. Almost always it's like these three. Come on, man. Any kid in elementary school could look at this and figure out what it really means.
Right. You know, when we first started doing Bible contradictions, you know, when I was still fairly, you know, new or young in the faith as far as it goes.
Yeah.
They actually kind of scared me. But the further along we went, the more I was like, man, crack covers all this.
It does. That's the answer for Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
What, Jeff? I'm starting to get angry.
I'm just annoyed at Bible contradictions.
All right. Shall we go on to number five?
Number five. Siete.
How did carnivorous dinosaurs supposedly eat plants before the biblical fall of man when their teeth and digestive system were not equipped to process a vegetarian diet?
Wait.
That's what he's saying.
I said siete. That's not correct. Hmm? Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco.
Right. Okay. Should I go on to siete?
Cinco. Let's do cinco.
Okay. Cinco. What all I said just a minute ago. How did carnivorous dinosaurs supposedly... Wow. How did they eat plants before the fall of man when their teeth and digestive system weren't equipped to do so?
Okay, there's so much wrong with this question. Mm-hmm. I hardly even know where to start.
Okay.
Okay. He goes on. He says, Ken Ham and Ray Comfort have made the claim before that dinosaurs used to all be herbivores. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm not going to defend that. Because I don't believe that.
Right.
What we teach is that dinosaurs and humans didn't live at the same time. Dinosaurs were always meat eaters. We've done truth shots on this, actually. Mm-hmm. So you can go to our website and search for meat, and it'll come up. It was God created certain animals to eat meat, and it wasn't wrong for death to occur before the fall of mankind. This is right. where they get this. Theologically, mm-hmm. they say, the Bible says that death came to because of the fall. Well, that's not what the Bible says.
Right.
What does the Bible say? It says that death came to humankind right. because of the fall. It says death came to humankind because of the fall. So death existed before humans fell, before humans started to die. Plants died. Bugs mm-hmm. died.
Right.
Animals died.
How would we have survived if a plant didn't die?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. So I mean, yeah, it's even from a young earth perspective, Adam and Eve were eating plants.
Right.
And plants would necessarily die for Adam and Eve to eat them. So partly this is a problem with the way some Christians interpret scripture. But I wish the writer of this article was actually aware that there's a lot of deep theological Christians, many good Bible teachers, many seminarians who teach and preach that the earth is old.
Right.
There's actually the idea that the earth is really young is a fairly new idea in Christianity. This idea didn't like really exist a long time ago. So anyway, that's our show for today. We got through cinco.
Five.
Got through five of the 10. Maybe we'll do another one next week. Maybe right. we'll finish out the five.
We're sure those other five, we won't be able to answer at all.
Yeah, those other five are probably too hard
yeah,
for
we
us.
We saved the worst for last.
We'll see. I don't know. Well, maybe we'll do them next week. Maybe we'll not. Come on out to Revolution Church. This is the week after Easter. We'd love to have you. Your kids are going to love it.
Uh-huh.
Revolution Church. We meet at 10 o'clock, 11:30, and 5 o'clock.
There you go.
I got the times right. I'm happy about that. 10 o'clock, 11:30, and 5 o'clock. And go to our website, rebel.church. Or go to our regular website.
Right.
TruthRevolution.tv. So you got to get out there. Truth Shot, 60 seconds of truth. You can send in your questions. We love it. Love hearing from you. We answer every question we get. Thanks for sharing us on social media. We really appreciate everything that you guys do for us, especially those of you who give to the show so that it goes out and people are learning about the truth.
Amen.
Because the truth matters.